From the four corners of Southern California, this is The Hot Seat, and you're in it with me, Max Schwartz. It starts right now. Today on the phone I have is the third candidate for the third district seat on the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors to call into The Hot Seat, Pamela Ulick. How are you, Ms. Ulick? Thank you very much for taking the time to call into The Hot Seat.
Great, Max. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And I would like to remind everybody that this is a continuation of the Hot Seat's Board of Supervisors Candidate Series, which means that I will be sticking to my election protocol. To hear it in its entirety, please listen to my election interview notes. I have lots of questions for the candidates and not a lot of time, so without further ado, let's get started. Why do you want to be a member of the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors?
I want to tell you a personal story. I grew up in Kansas, and I came to the great state of California because of the opportunities California offered with respect to school. I was able to go to school at one of the best places in the United States of America, University of California, San Diego. And after going to school, I had to work several jobs. I had to, work very hard to be able to put myself through school. California has been very good to me. I was able to pass the California bar. I was able to get a wonderful job representing labor law on the union side. I worked in-house for the Screen Actors Guild. I also worked in-house for the Directors Guild of America. I had the opportunity to live not only in Santa Monica, but in Manhattan Beach and now in Malibu. And I am so blessed to be able to have opportunities in my life that I would have never dreamed of but for the great state of California. And I think it's about time that if I can do anything to make our town and our country and our county the best it can be, then I want to do that. And that's why I'm running. I think our county is a bellwether for what America can be, and we can make this district the best in the country, and that's why I'm running.
Okay, and I want to just go talk to you for a moment about your residence. You say you're living in Santa Monica. Do you believe that it's a problem or in a discrepancy that you have the 58th District Assembly member Richard Bloom living in Santa Monica and you living in Malibu? Do you think that gives part of a disadvantage to some parts of the district?
No, I think that you have to be open to every, regardless of where you live, it's about what you can do for the people and how you're open to people or not. So I think where you live is irrelevant, because the most important quality you have to have to serve the third district is the openness to listen to everyone before you make a decision, the openness to not be listening to certain people because they contributed to your campaign and versus other people who maybe didn't. So I think the most important quality you have to have as a public servant is the ability to be open, to be honest, to be trustworthy, and to be doing it to give back and not for personal gain.
Okay. And why or how do you believe you know the 3rd District well enough to represent it on a very powerful governmental body?
Well, as I said, it's interesting. My history with the 3rd District goes way back. My husband, David Ulick, and I'm very blessed to be married to him, grew up in Sherman Oaks, attended local schools there, was born in Holy Cross, went to Harvard Westlake. My first job was in Encino at a small labor law firm on Ventura Boulevard. Worked there until I went to the Directors Guild. My children go to school in Calabasas. I am in the Valley, I would say, 3 to 5 days a week because of their after-school activities and sports, et cetera. And I'm very familiar with those issues facing the Valley. In addition, I lived in Santa Monica when I had my first labor law job. I actually lived in a rent control apartment because when you work on the union side, you don't get paid that much money. It's really more of a public interest kind of job. So I grew up on 11th. I actually lived in an apartment on 11th and Pico in Santa Monica for many years and really know what's happening in Santa Monica as well. After I met and married my husband, that's when I moved to Malibu, California. But being in Malibu, like I said, is just a small part of my day. Our favorite restaurants where we go out every night is in the Valley. We go to Exotic Thai in Agora Hills. Our favorite movie theater is the Regency Theater in the Valley in Agora. We're there almost every other weekend. So I think I have a unique perspective that I don't know if our other candidates bring, where even though I may live in one place, I actually end up in the valley most of my day.
Okay, so for clarification purposes, you know the entire district because you're not just because you live in Malibu, you're not there, and you've lived in various parts of the district, and you're in the valley a lot.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because my children, as I said, go to attend school in Calabasas.
And I do have a question about that because you contradicted yourself during your answer, and you contradicted what you said mm-hmm. at the SPJLA debate at the at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And when you made it very clear that you go to the Valley every day, whereas here you mentioned that you go to the Valley 3 to 5 times a week.
After school.
So is it every day or is it 3 to 5?
It depends on if I drive them or not. So with the campaign season right now, like I'll be going tonight. I have a thing in Mountain Gate for tennis after school. But it really does vary. And because of the campaign schedule, I haven't been driving them to school every day.
Okay.
Because I have a lot of events.
Okay. And what is your current position and or what did you do in the past that makes you think you are qualified to sit on the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors?
Well, I think, like I said, the most important quality you have to possess is the openness to listen to both sides before you make a decision. So I think that's the biggest issue. But also when I was after I made the decision to choose my children over my career, as I was at home, I started to get involved and wanted to improve our library. I took my kids to the Malibu Library often to story time. And when our story time teacher went to another library in Agoura Hills and I saw they had a special section for kids, they had smaller desks for kids, they had a separate computer area for kids, I really wanted what Agoura had, and so I started to get involved. And when I asked if I should, there was an open seat in 2004, and I wanted to bring
open
this issue.
Open seat where?
In Malibu City Council. And I wanted to bring this issue to light. I went and had dinner with somebody who was on the Planning Commission, and, you know, I brought this issue up, and he didn't seem too concerned about the library. He didn't have any children himself, and he told me that I should really stay at home and bake cookies because if I ran for city council, I would definitely lose. So I next day, as I said in the other debate, I took out papers, I ran, and won that seat by only 63 votes. And since I served from 2004, I was also on the city council then, I started to get involved with this issue. I was able to determine that with our library, when I started looking at the numbers, L.A. County, we were renting because the city of Malibu is a separate entity than L.A. County, and for our library funding, L.A. County gets our funding. We were looking at the numbers and how much they were charging us for the library, and I found out they were charging us rent on 32,000 square feet, but our library was only about 16,000 square feet. I went down to the library with a tape measure and made sure I was correct. And then when we brought this issue up with L.A. County, it turns out they were charging us rent for over 20 years on the basement of the library, which the courthouse was using to store their you know, records. And so they came to the table with us to start negotiating on how we could get some of our past tax money back to go into improving our library. And we were able to successfully negotiate. First, we actually had to almost leave L.A. County like other local libraries have. For example, Calabasas Library, they're operated by the city and not through L.A. County. Santa Clarita recently just left the L.A. County system. So we were almost going to leave L.A. County and take our tax money with us to improve our library and determine our own destiny. But in 2008, when I was the mayor, we negotiated and drafted the Memorandum of Understanding, which allowed us to use our taxes to improve our library, to keep our library open, and improve the services. So that's some of the experience that I have.
But
in addition,
when
I first got elected, the liquefied natural gas terminal, I don't know if you know what that is.
Miss Ulick, I'm not asking why.
I'm
asking about what have you done in the past. So is the answer that you've been on the Malibu City Council?
Yeah, but not only just being on the city council, it's actually looking at the numbers to understand how we can better use our property taxes to improve what we're our fair share. So it's not just serving on the city council, it's accomplishing things on the city council.
I'm not asking about what you did, I'm asking about the positions you held.
Yeah.
What years were you on the Malibu City Council?
I was elected in 2004 and then reelected in 2008, and I served till 2012. And then in our city, we have term limits, so it's a two-term limit that you can serve.
Okay. And if a third district resident were to come up to you and ask why they should vote for you, what would you say?
That's a great question. I think if you compare me to the other candidates, I've had a career. I am not a politician per se. I am a person of action who wants to help our community. I have children. I care about LA County's future. That's the most important thing. I think I'm innovative. I try and be creative. And I'm trying to bring a fresh perspective to government and look at the possibilities. Instead of running the way we've been running things, I'd like to have a fresh look and a fresh approach to how LA County works.
Okay. And why should third district residents trust you?
Oh, that's a good question. First, I think you have to earn trust. I think no one should trust me unless I've earned their trust. So I guess my statement would be, I hope I can earn your trust. I think working for 8 years in the city of Malibu, I was able to listen to people and to work with them. We accomplished a lot together. And I think you can trust me because I know it's not just me. It takes a team, and it's the people who live in the third district who are more important than me. And that's my view.
Okay. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But if you are elected, how will you work with the other elected officials whose districts lie within the third district?
Okay, so within the third district, so you mean the cities?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about the assembly members whose districts lie within the third district, the state senators, the congresspeople.
Yeah, I think the first thing, rather than being looking at the Sacramento politicians who are great, I think my top priority would be to meet with all the different members of the city councils from Agora, Sherman Oaks, the Valley, Calabasas, and have really town hall meetings with all of the elected officials who represent the cities within my district. Sacramento is very important, and we do work with them. But my priority to begin with is working with the other cities that I represent, because they're where the rubber meets the road, and that's the most my number one priority. Richard Bloom, I know well. Fran Pavley, I know well in San Diego, in Sacramento. I've worked with her on the LNG facility. Richard Bloom represented our district on the school board before he was elected, so I know him well. But like I said before, the most important thing is working with the cities.
Okay. And there will be a new first district supervisor, a new sheriff, and a new assessor.
Yes.
How will you work with your colleagues on the Board of Supervisors to do what is best for your constituents and the county as a whole?
I think the most important thing I learned is what it takes three votes when you're on the Board of Supervisors to get anything done. And so what you have to do is have a good working relationship with everyone, and that means sometimes you have to compromise. And that's what I would do. With respect to the sheriff, I think there's a golden opportunity here to start fresh. I think we've had over 20 years of issues with the sheriff department. It's time for a fresh approach. So whoever is elected, I'm looking forward to being part of the process of fixing the problems that have happened in the past. So I'm really looking forward to whoever is elected as the sheriff to starting fresh. And the assessor as well. You know, one of my campaign issues is we have a non-traditional campaign where it's money out, love for LA in, citizens win. And if you look at the assessor's office and the allegations, it's all about paybacks. When you contribute lots of money to a campaign and to a candidate, people usually want something in return. And I'm hoping that this new assessor will not fall into the traps, and it's not just, you know, it's not just this assessor. It's a lot of campaigns all over the country where when people give to your campaign, they expect something in return. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. And our non-traditional campaign is trying to take that element out. So I'm hoping the new assessor will be very open to working with the two new members of the supervisors. And I think it's going to be a fresh start because in 2 years from now, there'll also be new members in the other districts as well. So it's going to be the next 4 to 6 years are going to be a period of great change in LA County.
And I have a clarification question. You said the you're going to work with and work as a team with the other members of the Board of Supervisors.
Yes,
and you talked about how you weren't going
to
compromise. Is compromise the only way you're going to do that?
No, no, of course not. It's you have to be a leader. You have to have, you know, you have to have mutual respect. Antonovich, Kanabe, you know, I've been before the Board of Supervisors. I've testified against the water, quote unquote, assessment, because I think it's really a tax and it needs to be put to the people. But you have to have a collaborative approach. It's not just compromise, it's collaboration, because at the end of the day, we all want LA County to be the best it can be. And so that's why hopefully when we're all marching towards a common goal, we can find common ground.
Okay. And how will you work with the new sheriff to reform the department and ensure it does not continue to go downhill?
Oh, that's a great question. I think what we have to do is start looking at the I had a copy here of the report that was kind of the citizen oversight and some of the Blue Ribbon Task Force recommendations. And I'm hoping this the new sheriff in town is going to take those recommendations made by the Blue Ribbon Task Force to heart. And we'll start implementing some of the changes from how the departments are split with respect to the custody assignments versus the street assignments. It seems like if you've read that report, there is a very, I guess for lack of a better word, a double track where some people are viewed as second-class citizens, I think it said in the report, when you're on the custody assignments versus the people in the street. I think both assignments need to be given due respect. And the training that goes into when you become a custody assignment versus the street assignment is very different. When you're in the jails, you have to treat the prisoners with respect. You have to be able to treat them well. I don't know if that's been happening. I think that it seems from the task force, you know, the Blue Ribbon Commission, you know, there's been a systemic pattern of not treating people with respect. So hopefully the new sheriff will nip that in the bud, and when you get these the training to be in these different departments, you will get training in how to treat people in the jails.
Okay.
I don't think they've been receiving that training.
Okay. And how will you work with the new assessor to ensure properties are assessed fairly, integrity returns to the office, and what happened under the current assessor does not happen again?
Well, I think everything has to be transparent, and everything has to be put up into the light. So when people know what they're being assessed, they, you know, you can go online technologically. You can see what a property tax parcel is, why it's being assessed that way. So there's no question as to if campaign contributors got a break or not. In fact, maybe that's the first thing we should do is whoever the assessor gets elected is whoever contributed to their campaign. We should have those parcels be able to be looked at to make sure that there's not a change. There's no question that the new assessor is being fair and honest and forthright.
Okay. And what will you do to help the assessor modernize the office?
I think that we'll be able to fund the technological advances that can help. And technology, I think, is still changing, and we need to be more open to the new technology that can help reduce some of the manual work so it can get easier to find things online, to be able to have the office upgraded technologically. And we can fund that at the Board of Supervisor level and also support it.
So if the assessor came before the board and asked for $100 million to upgrade the technology, you would vote for that?
Well, I have to, of course, that's everything you ask, it has to be put into perspective. So it would depend on the budget before me and the other priorities, but hopefully we'll be able to support some of it. I don't know if all of it, but it's, you know, I have to look at the budget.
How would you convince the other members of the board to vote?
That's hard because I don't even know if they tweet. I think it won't be so hard, though, with the new people getting elected, that they'll be more open to the technology and not afraid of it, to embrace it, because it is kind of new in the computer era. And so hopefully it'll be a change, but they'll be able to embrace it because they'll see how it can make our lives very easier,
okay.
Much easier.
Okay, and I'd like to continue on now with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department.
Okay.
And it has had lots of problems in the last year. Do you support a Citizens Oversight Commission for the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department?
Absolutely. And What I did is not only do I support it, I testified in support of the Civilian Oversight Commission on February 25th at the Board of Supervisor meeting. And if I do get elected, of course, I will favor the Citizen Oversight Commission, and I'd also work to give the Inspector General more autonomy.
Would you want the recommendations of the commission to be binding?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I think I would have to say it's hard to bind them legally because the sheriff has independent authority. So I don't know if that would be possible, but I would be open to having them be binding subject to the legal analysis that it's going to take to see if a non-elected entity can tell an elected sheriff how to do his day-to-day job. That's hard.
Okay. So, and you said you'd bring this back up to a vote, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And what authority would you want the commission to have?
Well, first of all, you mean the authority or the inspector general? Because there's two.
Well, what authority do you want the commission to have?
Well, I think the commission needs to be able to work with the inspector general and kind of look at it from a fresh perspective with the other blue, the task force, to not only look at the past, but to work with experts in the field with respect to the future. So I would want the Oversight Commission to study the issues which have been studied already for 20 years, but to also look at some of the solutions. I don't know if we've really been focusing on that right now. With the new jail, for example, if we build a new jail, if it should be classrooms, as Lee Baca suggested, and what percentage should be devoted to incarceration versus classrooms versus rehabilitation facilities for drug addicts, et cetera. I think I would ask that the commission not only look at the problems of how the department is run, but some, you know, work with experts in the field and get the best of the best for L.A. County with respect to our future. So I would ask that they also look to the future recommendations and be part of the process of figuring out what's best for the L.A. County in the next 10 years and 20 years so we never have this issue come up again.
Okay. And speaking of a jail facility, would you support building a new jail facility?
You know, at this point, I think the old facility needs to be done away with. It doesn't seem, and if you read what Sheriff Baca said, it doesn't seem to be working. And they kind of did that with the Martin Luther King Hospital as well. And so I think it might be a good opportunity to start fresh. And so I would support looking at that and allocating resources to building a new facility that would be different from the past, that could put us on a forward path towards what being a bellwether, being the state of the best of the best, not only in L.A. County, not only in the state of California, but in the country. So if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right, and it's going to be a role model. We're going to be a role model for the rest of the country. So I think it's a great opportunity.
So for clarification purposes, you want a new jail facility to replace the existing one, not to increase capacity?
With respect to the capacity issue, you know, I'm going to have to defer to what the experts say. I'm not an expert at this.
Okay.
And so I cannot tell you what I feel the capacity should be. I don't feel comfortable with that, and I can't do that. I would leave it to the experts as far as the classroom versus incarceration ratio, et cetera. But I would want it to have a fresh approach. I would want it to have classrooms, as Baca suggested, not just incarceration facilities.
Okay. And you brought up Martin Luther King Hospital, and I want to get clarification on that. Are you referring to the old Martin Luther King Drew Harbor Hospital or the current the new one that's about to be opened, the MLK Community Hospital?
The MLK Community Hospital. I'm sorry. That's the one that's being redone. It was raised, and I think it's $280 million.
But do you not think, in regards to your comments, do you not believe that was done right?
You know, I think there were mistakes that were made, but I liked the way that they're being creative with partnerships with nonprofits to help run the new MLK facility.
For clarification purposes, what do you mean partnerships with nonprofits? Because their main partner and their only partner really is the UC, and they've come together to form a nonprofit which is running the hospital.
Right, the hospital.
Okay. And moving on now, there are some identifying features of the district, such as the beach and some iconic cities like Beverly Hills. What will you do to make sure that these iconic places are not destroyed or taken advantage of by corporations or government agencies?
Well, let's talk about the beaches, and let's talk about some of the iconic facilities we have. One is the Will Rogers State Beach. And I think that L.A. County has done a great job of doing that. One of some of the people that I've been hearing from town, are they get upset when they see certain supervisors' names on things. So I think one of the first things I would do is not have my name be on anything. And I think that will ensure that the iconic places are not ways in which the elected supervisors can promote their names. So that's one of my issues. So I can assure you that, you know, I don't think anyone's name should be on any of those government facilities per se. I think that it's owned by the people. We should be respectful of that. And no one person or one elected official is responsible for these beautiful, iconic places that we have. It's the people that really paid for them, and that it's theirs to have, not any person per se.
And what would your response be for the city portion of that question?
You mean like Beverly Hills?
Well, just and other iconic cities. Like, what will you do to make sure that those places are not taken advantage of?
Well, I guess I would work to be a voice for the people. So if there's ever an issue, I would represent whatever the people. I don't know what a specific example you'd have to give me. Like, how is Beverly Hills being taken over?
I just used Beverly Hills as an example of an iconic city. There are other iconic cities such as Malibu in the district, and I left the question vague intentionally.
Yeah. I'll give you an example in Malibu, which may not be, you know, an issue in any other cities, but one of the initiatives we looked at is the chain store initiative, and now Rob Reiner is taking that up. And it's whether or not we can retain our uniqueness, and rather than having corporations, when you go up and down the street, start taking over towns like they've done up from, you know, all over the country, not just in Los Angeles. So I would be open to ordinances that would reduce the corporation's ability to take over the eye space and become an eyesore for people who want to just walk through our towns, et cetera.
Okay.
Billboards, et cetera.
Okay. And there are also diverse populations, including large homeless and veteran populations in the 3rd District. What will you do to help these people achieve better lives in the 3rd District, and what will you do to provide resources to help and support them?
Yeah, the homeless and the veteran population issue is one of the biggest issues facing L.A. County. As you know, we have one of the largest homeless populations in the country. And I think we have to look at this from the macro and the micro level. And if we looked at it from the macro level, we have to look at the economic environment that L.A. County is either helping or hindering. And I think what we need to do as an L.A. County elected official is provide more opportunities kind of to lift all boats. Also, we also have to look at opportunities to go in and do more outreach, not just to the corporations, but also to the new technological industries that are coming to Los Angeles County to get more jobs into the county. You know, one of the issues I saw is I know a teacher who is basically almost homeless. She's living with her sister because she couldn't afford rent. And this issue is so large, we have got to be able to help people. And one of the things I will do is work on this issue to get more economic opportunities, to give people a fair working living wage so they don't have to become homeless. I think that we need, as a government, to be a beacon of light to give people the opportunity to better themselves. And the same with the veterans, too. I know Bobby Shriver has devoted a lot of his life to this issue. And if I am elected, I would work with him. I would work with the experts so we can be creative and on the forefront. And when we solve this issue, we, like I said before, the common theme that I have is that we will be a leader again in not only our county, but in our country, to show that we are going to take care of the people in our society who are the worst off, because that is our primary duty.
You talk about creating more economic opportunity.
Yes.
How do you plan to do that?
Well, let's just look at the entertainment industry, because we had a rich history in the 3rd District with Hollywood. And some of the issues I've heard about are the bureaucracy and the red tape to be able to film here. And a lot of productions are now leaving because of the incentives of the other states. Louisiana's offering, for example, and even Georgia is taking away. I think it's Georgia's the number one filming destination at this point. So we have got to become. We've got to work with Sacramento to give those tax incentives back to keep production in Hollywood. So that's one economic opportunity. The other is to go out. I think Mayor Garcetti is doing a great job with this. He is meeting with new technology industries, trying to get them to have their headquarters here. We have to be proactive to give them an opportunity to come to Los Angeles with respect to the licensing issues, to have a streamlined approach, to make it a one-stop shop. And I think Zev did that a lot, too, to make it easier for businesses to grow here. We have to take a hard look at our tax situation before we start doing water assessments and more taxation. We really need to see how is that going to affect the economy, because people are going to leave. Corporations are going to leave if we keep taxing.
Okay. And what will you do about the mental health treatment in Los Angeles County to ensure that there is greater and equal access to care?
Yeah, I think this issue is huge. I think that we have to be open to the facilities to streamline it. So if you need help, you can get the help you need for a reasonable cost or no cost. If you're one of the people that needs it and you can't afford it, it's our duty to provide that to you.
Okay. Quickly, we're going to go through the rest of these questions a little bit faster because we're running short on time.
Okay, sorry.
And it's okay. And one more, and a yes or no question, do you support adding seats to the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors?
Absolutely. And I think it's...
Just yes or no. How many would you like to add?
I would be open to 9 or 11 to start, and I think we need to do more research into what the appropriate number would be.
Okay. And as a Los Angeles County Supervisor, you would get to sit on the Metro Board of Directors, and currently there are two contested projects. One is the Green Line, the other the Purple Line. The Green Line is under heavy criticism because it does not extend all the way to the airport, and there is no plans, at least at the present time, to bring it into the airport. What is your position about this issue?
You know, I think Sheila made some good points on this issue, and I think we have to look at being creative with the busing situation so we can get people from the last stop to the airport. I don't have the answer, but I think what we need to do is do a better job in planning to begin with to get the stop eventually closer to LAX or to get the bus shuttle service so reliable that people aren't reluctant to go to use the line to get to the airport. Right now, it's very questionable.
So you would like to have buses transport people from the end of the Green Line to the airport?
Until we can possibly get a stop at the airport.
Okay. And the Purple Line is under the microscope because it is currently slated to run underneath Beverly Hills High School, which is controversial because of the old oil wells underneath it. There is a less expensive alternative running it north under Santa Monica Boulevard. Which Purple Line alignment do you support, the northern alignment under Santa Monica Boulevard or the southern alignment under Beverly Hills High School?
Wasn't there just a lawsuit on this issue, too?
There are several lawsuits.
Yeah, I thought they just, this is a tough question. And I guess I would have to go with the less expensive alternative running it north under Santa Monica Boulevard.
Okay. And do you believe more work needs to be done on the 405?
Absolutely, and I think we need to have more creative solutions to even possibly offer bike lanes because people, it takes hours sometimes, and we have a health issue and a crisis in our county, and we have the most beautiful weather conditions in the country usually. Why are we not taking advantage of that and putting on bike lanes?
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, and thank you very much for joining me in the hot seat, Ms. Ulick. It was a pleasure. The hot seat after hour starts right now. You can email the hot seat inbox at thehotseatwithmaxschwartz@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at MaxSchwartzTV. You can also read and follow my blog at maxschwartztv.blogspot.com. You can subscribe to the hot seat newsletter by clicking on the link on our page. Go to annenbergradio.org/podcast and click the link underneath the hot seat subscription and enter your email address. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you'll join me next time with their District Board of Supervisors candidate, Sheila Kuehl.